and also ban current people who are interested in enlisting from doing so.
How are people organizing against this? Again, this memo has not been announced.
There's already one lawsuit pending. There are going to be many more lawsuits once this becomes official policy. And we're going to see people across the country resist the misinformation that this administration is circulating about transgender individuals and our health care, which is both medically necessary and life-saving.
The memo says that as for current trans troops, their leaders can expel them if they deem them not to be deployable. What does that mean?
It's not clear what that means. It sounds incredibly arbitrary, and there are already military regulations that bar separation based on a lack of universal deployability. So this is completely inconsistent with military policy.
Jay Stranger, thanks for joining us of the ACLU. And that does it for today's broadcast. A very happy birthday to Vesta Gadarz. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gattis, Diener, Sam Alkoff. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
I'm Kimmy Horn, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn.
Over 50,000 people die of colon cancer each year, and the Susan Cohan Cancer Foundation is trying to change that. In partnership with the Barbara Ann Carmanos Cancer Institute, Susie's Cause will be holding a free outreach health festival at Oakland Mall on Saturday, August 26th from noon to 4 p.m. There will be free health screenings, cancer education and resources, healthy lifestyle exhibits, YMCA fitness demonstrations, face paintings, and giveaways. There will also be musical entertainment featuring David Whitfield, Low Key Sounds, Jay Bethel and Spoken For, Erica Johnson, and more. Susie's Cause wants to break the silence associated with colon cancer with this free festival, where you can learn tips for healthy living and learn how to reduce the risk of colon cancer. So come on out to the Susie's Cause Free Outreach Health Festival at Oakland Mall at 14 Mile and I-75 on Saturday, August 26th from noon to 4 p.m. We'll see you there.
Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. It's 1 o'clock, and welcome to the new WHFR Journal. I'm Susan McGraw, and very excited to be in studio this afternoon on a beautiful Friday. We just could not ask for better weather. Some people might want it a little warmer this time of season, but oh, not me. I'm loving every minute of this. I want to say a special good afternoon and thank you to Alan Mazurek, who is running the board for me today. We've got lots of interviews scheduled for this new edition of the new WHFR Journal. So Alan's going to handle that component for me, and we're also going to get him on the mic to talk a little bit as well. Surprise, Alan. There you go. We are very, very excited to do our best here at WHFR to continue in the long tradition of providing a forum for local news, local views, local happenings in our Dearborn, Dearborn Heights, and related community. The upside to having a forum like this is that we can invite in special guests, like one that we'll be having in just a little bit, Gloria Nysick, who's chair of the fundraising event coming up here on our campus for the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra. It's a big band gala, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. A little later in the show, we're going to have Cassandra Fluker, Director of Student Activities, here on our Henry Ford College campus. We are buzzing with activity back into the swing of the new school season as we started our fall semester of classes just yesterday, in fact. So we want to continue providing this forum, this opportunity for you, our WHFR listener, to stay in touch with what's happening both internally here at the college as well as externally in our community. So that's the upside. The downside to a show like this is that there is this rare occasion that you hope will never happen, that sometimes does, that you have to now deal with, and that is the loss of its creator, its coordinator, its producer, and its longtime host. Yes, I'm speaking about the voice that you normally hear during this time of this show. Mine's a little bit higher pitched than our own Jay Koronix has been for all these years, and you know his voice. We love his voice. Unfortunately, as he mentioned last week, if you caught the tail end of Jay's show, his voice will no longer be a part of this particular radio show. He has well-deservedly retired officially from our WHFR station. We are excited and enthusiastic for the the wonderful things he's going to do moving forward. Hopefully it will involve a lot of travel and a great deal of continued self-awareness and learning like nobody but Jay does any better. But we also do are so grateful and appreciative for all of the effort, the time, the energy that he has put in to make our radio station really what it is today, and that is a successful, non-commercial educational facility that has been going strong for over 32 years. So I'm not going to get emotional because once I start, I can't turn off the waterworks. But Jay, I hope you're listening. We thank you. We are so eternally grateful, not only as a station community, our station family, but also as a college campus and a community at large. Nobody does what you've done quite with the flair and intelligence and compassion that you have. You will sorely be missed, and we're going to do our best to keep things rolling. It's not going to be like Jay, because nobody else is, but we'll see how it goes. With that being said, we are very interested in finding out what you as a community might like to see here, happening here, both on our airwaves in general, but most importantly, during the WHFR Journal. Genuinely, this is a show that Jay created. You tune in for his opinion. My opinion is not the same as his opinion. In fact, as a non-Dearborn resident, I don't feel that I have a valid opportunity and, frankly, a right to be as opinionated as Jay, because this is his community. Granted, I've worked and have family in this community and have for many, many years, so it really is sort of my extended home. But as I said, we're not going to be able to keep things going the way Jay did. We understand that. So starting today, little bit of a new voice, little bit of a new sort of facade face for this particular show. With all that said, we've got great information to share, and I'd like to get into it actually right now. So thank you, Gloria, for allowing me to editorialize, like I said I would not, for just a few minutes. We'll have you scooch up just a little bit more. We welcome you. We are so excited to have been a media partner and just an advocate for the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra for so many years now. We sense and are so in awe of what few people do to make such an amazing product time and time again. You are a staple in our Dearborn community. And you, my dear, are wearing a very large hat, not literally, of course, right now, but metaphorically. There's this event coming up right here. I'm actually, if I turn my head, I'll look out and see where this event is taking place, coming up right around the corner. Mm-hmm. Welcome. Tell us what's going on.
Well, thank you, Susan, for having me this afternoon. I am chairing a fundraiser for the Dearborn Symphony, and we're entering our 56th season. And as many of you know, we are a four-time award-winning orchestra under the direction of Kypros Marcou. And I am chairing this kickoff for the 2017-18 season, the big band at the Pavilion, which is right here on the Henry Ford campus. And we thank you very much for hosting us. We are so pleased to be here. And we, well, the name is the big band at the Pavilion, and it's under the direction of Rick Goward, who conducts and directs the Henry Ford College Band. It's a 17-piece orchestra, and we hope you're going to come because it'll be absolutely a fabulous evening. We also have a vocalist. Her name is Karen Newman, and many of you may know her. She sings the national anthem for the Red Wings. And the event is scheduled for Saturday night, September 9. And we begin with cocktails. Well, their compliments of Merchant's Fine Wine. And then we are following up at 7 o'clock with a seated dinner, serving filet mignon, by the way. And Chef Jablonski of the Henry Ford College is going to do an absolutely fabulous creation for a dessert. I can't wait to see what it's going to be. And our sponsors for this evening are Mary and Don Kosh of Dearborn Sausage, and they are our honorary chairs. We're doing this in collaboration this year with the Henry Ford College and the Dance Sport Academy of Michigan. They are going to send us a couple of dancers, in fact, the owner Pam and her partner Alex, to do a few demonstration dances for us, something like Dancing with the Stars. So we're going to have a vocalist, we're going to have a dance performance, we're going to have the big band, 17-piece orchestra playing for you, a fabulous meal. All of this, well, for a fabulous evening. I hope you can come. You will need reservations. For that, I suggest you call the office at 313-565-2424 or visit us at dearbornsymphony.org.
Okay. This is a fundraiser, first and foremost. You have just certainly encouraged someone that might have been thinking, oh, it's just big band music, it's just at a college. Wow, what a lineup. This is really an evening of packed entertainment.
It is. Fabulous entertainment. And look what you're getting. You're getting music, and you're getting cocktails, and you're getting dancing, and you're getting a performance, and a vocalist. All of this for a wonderful evening of fundraising for the Dearborn Symphony. And we need to do this. We rely very much on our fundraisers, our volunteers, our supporters, our advertisers, our merchants in the area, because it costs at least $30,000 to put on one concert. And our admission does not cover it. The tickets cover about 25% of our cost. So we need to do this, and we rely very heavily on our fundraising events and our supporters. Last year, we collaborated with the Players Guild of Dearborn, and we did Murder at the Courthouse, mm-hmm. and that was fun. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to do more and more of these collaborations because they bring the community together. So we're hoping that you will call and make a reservation, 313-565-2424. And don't delay, because it is September 9, and that's coming up.
It is. September is right around the corner. Hard to believe that, of course. Do you expect to sell out? We hope for a sellout.
Well, we hope. We hope it's going to be even more than that. Yeah. So do call, because it's just around the corner.
Good. Mm-hmm. I remember helping my sister-in-law, Mary, who was doing the musical, sort of the playlisting for the Murder at the Museum last time.
At the courthouse.
And so she because I happen to work in radio, she's like, well, we need some really scary, cool, fun music. And so it was so much fun going through and picking songs to play at that event. I wasn't able to be at the event. I heard it was just a wonderful, wonderful evening. And what I appreciate so much, Gloria, is the fact that you tend to switch it up with the symphony in terms of fundraising. It's not one thing every year that people, you know, frankly, can get a little bit bored of. Mm-hmm. So what a nice opportunity.
I like to keep it fresh and something different every year, something to look forward to, so that it's not the same old every year. Mm-hmm. And that's how I come up with my ideas, you know. This year it's the big band at the pavilion with a 17-piece orchestra. Last year it was Murder at the Courthouse, and I don't know what it'll be next year. Depends on what comes up in my dreams.
Oh, that's how you do it.
That's how I do it.
I like that.
And our season begins with our first concert on October 6th, which is a Friday night. It's Rhapsody in Blue, Gershwin's music, and some Bernstein and some John Williams. You will just love it. We have a total of 5 concerts, and one of them will be a Pops concert on April 13 under the direction of Rick Ridenour, the Best of Broadway. So do give us a call and purchase your season tickets for the symphony and also your reservations for the big band at the pavilion.
Very good. Mm-hmm. We at WHFR, as I mentioned, have been a partner, a media sponsor of the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra for many, many years. And we are, I think, sort of known in some ways, especially fortunately lately again, for our classical programming that we air in our overnight time slot, midnight until 10 a.m. We were having some technical satellite issues for, several weeks. It was devastating, frankly. It was one of those problems that you can't solve it because it's intermittent, so thousands of dollars later and finally getting the right people at the right time, we were able to solve that with, might I say, a great help and support by our own Jay Koronek. So we were finally able to say confidently that we have that classical going again, and we love presenting announcements just like this about not only this event, but also the entire season of the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra. In addition, if you've had a chance to come to a performance, we have a table that we host with the radio station there to pass out program schedules and so on. So it's been a wonderful working relationship for so many years. I can't wait for this event. So looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. I have to ask, when it comes to the sort of the bottom line, the concept of getting the word out
genuinely about something like this. I mean, not every community has their own symphony orchestra, for crying out loud. This is a very special, very, very, you know, special gem here in the Dearborn area. And I would always think it's going to sell, every event is going to sell out every time you offer something. What's the biggest challenge, would you say, in just getting the message about these ongoing performances, especially out to the appropriate people so that we can pack that house? What do you think?
I don't know. We've tried as many things as we can, and it is important to market it properly. We've tried various avenues, and I think we just need to address it once again and expand it, because it needs promotion. We are an excellent orchestra, and if you sit down and listen to us, it's amazing. And the performance hall is wonderful, and we receive that through the generous cooperation of the City of Dearborn and the Henry Ford Motor Company. So we've been performing in that performance hall since 2011, since it
and
opened.
You're speaking of the Michael Guido
facility. Yes. We've been performing there. It's a fabulous venue for us. And I don't know. I wish we could fill every seat, but I'm not quite sure how. Perhaps we need to be on the radio every
a little more
every
often,
single
huh?
a week, just prior to, you know, each performance. That might help. So I do hope to see you there. We are also committed to education, and we do have a youth music competition for the students Dearborn and Dearborn Heights. And then we also sponsor a youth artist solo competition, which is open to the young musicians of southeastern Michigan. So we do these things, and hopefully, I don't know, perhaps you can help us more. And we would like to.
Well, we appreciate
work
that
more with you, so that we can get an announcement every time.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank
we
you.
Love the fact that that we have sort of an opportunity to be a little extra social, get dressed up a little bit more, and do something, you know, a little bit different here on our college campus as well. So with the Big Band Gala, the Big Band event, this is a perfect opportunity to say, well, I like to contribute to different causes. I'm going to select the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra this time around, if you haven't in the past, and come out for just a tremendous night, and it is all supporting this wonderful cause. It's for the arts, and it's for local arts, and as you said, education. You give so much back right to us in the community as well. So we're so grateful. It's been months and months and months since we first talked about promoting this event. So I know you've been working on this for a very long time. We're so excited that you've secured Rick Goward. He's he's our gem in our backyard here at Henry Ford College.
He is
we
terrific.
Love Rick.
He really is.
Love
he's
his big band.
And he is, he's just a very wonderful person, and he's going to do everything to help us, and he does. Every time we ask, he just comes right through, and with his 17-piece orchestra, and he was the one who obtained Karen Newman for us, so we thank him for that, too.
Yeah, can't say enough about Karen as well. She does her own holiday performances, as we know, and so on, and always to a wonderful crowd, so a lot of bang for your donation dollar for this particular event. For more information, for ticket pricing, and say if you want to reserve an entire table, whatever the case may be, we want to have you call that number, as Gloria mentioned, 313-565-2424. We always like to promote the website as well for those listeners that want a little chunk of information, and that is?
TheDearbornSymphony.org.
Okay.
And you can get your tickets that way, and you can also make your reservation for the big band at the pavilion that way. Wonderful. Remember, the big band is Saturday night, September 9, 6 o'clock. The doors open for cocktails, and followed by a seated dinner, a lot of dancing, performance, vocalist, all of that. And our concert season begins October 6 on a Friday night. Thank you.
Thank you for the great summary, Gloria.
Thank you.
All the best with the season, all the best with this event. We look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Thanks so much.
Goodbye.
Well, Alan, we're going to have a quick pause, if that's okay with you. You are listening to the WHFR Journal, the new WHFR Journal. Jay Koronick has retired. Breaking news. Oh, my goodness. We're so happy for you, Jay. We're going to do our best to keep things rolling. Might not look or sound exactly the same, but see what we can do. Always great information, that's for sure. I'm Susan McGraw. It is 1:18. You're listening to WHFR 89.3 on your FM radio dial. Stay with us.
As an 18-year-old, I let my mistakes kind of take over my life. I was 0.5 credits away from completing high school, and I didn't do it.
10 years later, at age 28, Jackie finished her high school diploma.
When I found out that I was pregnant, I know that I had to do something for myself if I wanted to make her a better person and provide a better life for her. My family never stopped pushing for me to be better because they knew what I could become and who I could become as a person. My support team is amazing. The educational director, my sister, and even my 7-year-old daughter has just been more than the support that I could ask for. I've been given an opportunity, and I'm just thankful for it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You know how doctors recommend a daily diet of 5 food groups? Veggies, fruits, grains, dairy, and protein? Well, I have one more to add to that list. Rock and roll. Hey, I'm DJ Chelsea Marie. Join me every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. for Dinner with Chelsea, where I will serve up a generous portion of rock, post-hardcore, and metal music, all spun right here on WHFR. It's dinner music with a kick. So join me every Saturday night from 4 to 6 p.m. for Dinner with Chelsea right here on 89.3 FM WHFR Dearborn.
You can always come up with an excuse for not visiting longtermcare.gov.
Oh, I forgot. Game night.
After all, who wants to admit that one day they will be, you know, old?
Hey, do you see any crow's feet on this face? I don't.
But since 70% of older Americans need some kind of long-term care, why not do some free planning now so you can stay in charge? Visit longtermcare.gov and find your own path forward.
This is the new WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw here, hosting for today's newest edition of a radio show that's going to sound a little bit different. As I teased a little bit earlier, higher-pitched voice, Susan jumping in here. Next week, we're going to have a guest host, Lynn Grunst, who will be joining us. She does several talk shows here on our radio station at WHFR. In addition, she lives and breathes Dearborn community, so we love her for that and so many other reasons. But Lynn will be in doing her slant on the WHFR Journal. We honestly can't say absolutely that the show is going to stay consistent in this time and in this sort of similar vein. We know we're going to have to revamp it a little bit, reevaluate some of the opportunities that we have with this hour of programming. And that's because Jay, who, as I mentioned earlier, is not doing the show any longer, he just knows so much about so many hot button topics. And I'm afraid to go into some of those, to be honest with you. Because that's why I have Alan Mazurek here, right? To take the heat for me a little bit. Alan, thanks again for being here today.
No, it's great to be here. It's absolutely wonderful to be here and get to learn a little bit more about how to work the various equipment and things that are here at the station.
You're doing just a fantastic job. Well, one part of the airwaves at WHFR that we don't get to talk about often is sort of the learning component involved with this non-commercial educational radio station. And I think that everybody that tunes into the journal is tuning in because they want to learn something new, something different about what's going on, or Jay's opinion, because he's got plenty of them and they're wonderful and always very exciting, controversial, et cetera. But we should, I guess, take this moment to mention that the views that we do express here do not represent the college or the Board of Trustees or any community body at large. They are just our opinions.
So, correct.
That's important to note. With that being said, Jay used to rely on so many different sources for obtaining his material. He always says that the newspapers, they're not what they used to be, and we know that to be true, just the newspaper industry in general, fewer resources, less opportunity to get down into the crook of some of the different topics going on. But there are lots of opportunities locally to connect with different businesses, different organizations, talking to the mayor's office, podcasts, and so on. Another component that we used to have on this show, the Jim Hightower and Jack Lessenberry podcasts. We are kind of figuring out how we're going to move forward with those. I'm guessing that we will not be using them. Well, we're not going to most likely use them today. We'll see how it goes. But in general terms, we know how selective Jay has been in his approach for good radio. So we're going to do our best to keep that going. When we talk about education, Alan here, he coordinates and teaches our broadcast journalism class here on campus. That's a part of the telecommunication program, and that's the program that I oversee here at Henry Ford College. And telecommunication, simply put, is the study of and appreciation of the media and what is involved in making good media, whether it's television, radio, film, online product, as well as understanding what we see, what we hear, and why we really should be the first line of defense in what we choose to believe or not believe. It's a term called media literacy. Now, here in our telecommunication program, we get into recording, editing, performing, production. We get into a lot of writing as it relates to making good media. Just because it's on the radio, just because it's in the movies, on TV, doesn't mean it's good necessarily. And you know that, certainly, Alan. Alan is going to be helping and supporting the radio station in a variety of capacities moving forward. We've wanted to do this for some time and are excited. It's a logical extension, hosting the broadcast journalism students coming in every week. Tell us a little bit about why this is a nice marriage. Broadcast journalism and WHFR.
Well, we just started with the new semester. Yesterday was our first class that we had for this semester, so it'll take us a couple of weeks to spend a lot of time learning more about how to write in the broadcast in a radio form to do news. It's obviously a lot different than a newspaper, so it takes us a few weeks to figure some of those things out, and then we'll be over here on probably Tuesdays to do our weekly newscasts. It's a great opportunity to, and there is, as you mentioned, media literacy. There's, you know, a thread that runs through the entire semester that we do that really enhances that idea of being a media literate person, which is more important than ever these days. So, and learning how to write and giving them a chance to have some of that real world experience of being behind a microphone. And I always tell them we're not going to force them if they really don't want to do it. But, I've yet to, in probably nearly a dozen semesters, find someone who, you know, didn't want to get behind the microphone and at least give it a go. I think that there's a little bit of peer pressure and a little bit of competition that they love to get a chance to do it behind the microphone. And then we go back and listen to, you know, what we've done. Send them out, maybe do some interviews and collect some actualities or sound bites that we will use in some of the stories that we do, and teach them all of those different skills that help them at least have some sort of working knowledge of being a broadcast journalist. One of the things that's been great to do in the last couple of semesters, and I don't even know if you were aware of this, we go up to the TV studio at the end of the semester and put together a little television newscast, which is very different. It's never been something that I was comfortable with. As you can tell, sitting behind a microphone, I got all sorts of things I can look at. television. It's not quite that way. You've got to can't move your eyes around the room like I have a natural habit of doing, and it just never was my thing.
Oh, but I thought you were just kind of shifty. That's all.
Yeah,
no, I'm kidding.
Well,
I'm
that's
joking.
The way it comes across on TV. Actually, that's the problem.
Oh,
so
that's funny.
Yeah,
that's funny. Good. Well, we're very happy to have you continue instructing that class. When I was had the pleasure of teaching it, I loved it. It was one of my favorite classes mm-hmm. to teach. Schedules didn't allow me to be able to continue with some of the other classes I've got. So I just couldn't think of a more logical and natural person to step in and give a different, little bit of a different approach, but certainly one that's just as intellectual and just as challenging to our students. So thank you for that.
And certainly, in this day and age where, you know, the fourth or fifth estate, that is a check and balance on a democratic system. You can't make the right decisions for you if you don't have an informed decision. And of course, an informed decision means at some point we have to have an agreement on what are facts. Nobody has the right to their own facts necessarily, is an important thing that we try to stress, and that we look at things, you know, as objectively as we can when we go through and learn what stories we're going to be doing and how they, you know, what the issue is at play and how to present that to an audience.
Mm-hmm. So. And how to do it in an ethical, professional,
obviously.
And legal way.
Yes.
Which gets me into this next topic a little bit. I don't even want to say that word that starts, the first word is an F and the second word is an N. Well, you thought I was going to say a different word. Oh, my goodness. I would never. No, the phrase, two words, the whole fake news thing.
Yes,
I mean,
correct.
The fake news is the term that's coined now, but that's been going on forever. I hate to tell you, people. We have always had manipulation, and you know that. But now we're seeing it come to the forefront for a variety of political reasons. And it's finally, I think, getting some front and center attention that maybe if we look at what's the jewel in the rough or the light at the end of the tunnel is that people are at least talking about these things, like what's appropriate for news gathering, what types of sources should we trust, should we believe, and so on. And that goes to the end extreme, that just because you have somebody that's vocal, just because you have an organization that's willing to get out and you know, present something doesn't mean that it should have the credibility that maybe it has in past years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. And we're seeing a lot of that, as we know, happening with the crazy, awful experiences that have recently taken place in Charlottesville
mm-hmm.
and right here in our own community, as the latest Dearborn Heights Times Herald has right front and center on the cover of their paper from this Wednesday, the concept of protesting hate, bigotry at U of M Dearborn. So there was a wonderful rally called Rise Up Against Hate at U of MD just a week or so ago, and there were dozens of anti-hate, anti-bigotry supporters gathering there to take a stand, as they say, against, in this case, the concept of white supremacy. It's not going away. We know that. I appreciate and admire when students are willing to rally for a cause. It doesn't have to be back to the 1960s way of doing it. There are new modern ways of protesting and rallying, both in social media as well as physically in person. But what's amazing to me is that so many people turn out for these now, but they're already so prepared and unified when they get there because of the opportunities that Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter and Facebook and all those things allow. Once you get to the rally, you're already organized versus
right.
having to get there and then figure it all out. So my understanding is, based on this article, this was a very peaceful, yet a very, very well-prepared protest. And those are the ones we like to see.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And certainly that one there, I mean, and on the other side of things, of course, you know, recent history of protests from our friend from Florida that comes up every mm-hmm. once in a while and mm-hmm. decides to make sure that people know he hasn't gone away.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, again, yeah, in this one, taking a stand and doing it rather quickly. I mean, this is really on the heels of, you know, a very monumental event. Momentous? Even no, monumental event, I guess. No pun intended, I guess. You know, to be able to organize that quickly and to stand up so strongly is a part of, you know, what that community wanted to express for itself, and to be able to do it in that, you know, in that forum it's great. It's to let people know that it's not just the loud voices that get all the attention, mm-hmm. that there is, you know, there is that sort of solid decency that expresses itself quietly but publicly.
Mm-hmm. Very well put. Appreciate that. Speaking of publicly, but in this case not quietly, there's something going on here in Dearborn, I understand, and it has to do with some rats in the community. And I don't mean those rats in the White House or those rats in our state capitol and whoever those rats might be. You fill in the blanks. But I'm talking real rats, rodents. We've got some rodents kind of shaking it down here. And the mayor has recently released a press release talking about why that is an issue. And he has actually indicated that he is deploying 15 city inspectors to beef up the rodent control efforts across the city, to also educate residents about eliminating the conditions that could lead to pest problems. So often, we have a problem, we're going to, of course, blame everybody else for the fact that it exists. But sometimes it's some things that we can do in our own backyards to help the process get better faster. So here's some things, some guidelines that are presented in this release from the mayor's office, and it makes perfect sense. So let's share it. First of all, to eliminate the food source for the rats. Keep trash in a designated cart. Make sure you keep your lid closed. So that's logical, right? Keep that garbage so it doesn't become somebody's meal ticket, right? If you have pets, make sure you keep your yards clean of your pets. Whatever it is that they're going to share. We want to eliminate food sources on your property. Pet food, bird seed. It's a violation of city ordinance to ground feed animals. I don't know if you knew that or not. I hope you knew that, because that is a big issue. Putting out peanuts, putting out bird seed on the ground, and so on. That is a violation of Dearborn City ordinance. And we know that it attracts other animals that you do not want on your property. Also, when we talk about this season, we've got fruit trees. My sister is eating pears like crazy, and they're wonderful right from her own trees in her backyard right here in this community, but you have to be very sensitive to that, picking up any of the fruit, the harvest, if you will, from trees, bushes, vines, stuff that falls to the ground. Vegetables, I cannot keep my tomatoes picked fast enough because this is the season.
It's been a good year for them.
Oh, wonderful. But boy, if I go 3 days without going in the back and picking the rest of my tomatoes, the animals have already gotten to them. It's crazy. So we want to keep our yards clean, and that will, I think, help in the prevention. And then when we talk about creating hiding places, this is the other part of what we should be sensitive to. Keep all your stuff stored in a garage. If you have wood piles, they say not less than 9 inches from the ground. Compost needs to stay in a container. Cracks and holes and breaks in your foundation, around pipes and screen doors and stuff. Seal that stuff up. Be very careful with that. And all your outside stuff really should be made of masonry or concrete. That's a part of the way the city runs anyway. And if you have wooden porches, keep the spaces clean of debris and so on. And the grass. Apparently, rodents like to sort of burrow into long grass, and that, I guess, makes sense. So you want to keep your grass below 6 inches in height. Get rid of the weeds, the low-hanging trees and such, to prevent rats from hiding in there. It would be, it would freak me out if I'm, like, walking and doing something on my front lawn and all of a sudden I come eye to eye with a who knows what. Really, really creepy. What the city is saying to not do, briefly, do not use the commercially available rodenticides. That's actually a word, rodenticides, like pesticides. Rodenticides, right? Rats can become resistant to them, just like if you use too many antibiotics when you have a cold or a flu or something, and they can make these sort of like super bugs. Well, there are super rats, apparently, that are becoming more and more hard to get rid of because people are using too much of this, you know, rat pesticide, and they're becoming immune. They're like superhuman, but they're not actually human. So we want to be careful with that. In addition, of course, this type of chemical can be very dangerous to children and pets and non-target species. So professionals only handling the poisons. That's very, very important, so keep that in mind. We're waiting to hear more. I know that there will be an update coming soon once this sort of issue, this sort of big deployment of the inspectors going on, saying we're going to try to do the best to cover. We're going to deal with sewer issues, building construction projects, road conditions. They have all contributed to dislodging rodents from their underground homes. The cooler weather, they say, is going to help as well. So we'll see how how it goes. I don't know. It's all creepy to me, but every community has them. We're not immune, and it just happens that they've shaken up a little bit here in Dearborn. So do the best you can to help, and certainly call the city if you have specific issues or questions on that subject. This is the new WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw here. I think that our own Cassandra Fluker is in the house, and we're going to have Cassandra come on in. Would you take a seat here, my dear? Look at you in your bright colors today. Hello and welcome to our airwaves. Great to have you back again.
Thank
nice
you,
to see
Susan.
You.
Certainly. Nice to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, certainly. I look forward to learning about the plan of action for how we're going to get students engaged and involved. The office that you coordinate is called Student mm-hmm. Activities, after all. So what kind of activities should we look forward to here on our campus at Henry Ford College?
Okay, well, you said it. The purpose of the Office of Student Activities, we get students involved and engaged for a rewarding and meaningful college experience. I always say to students that a college experience is incomplete without involvement. Mm. So you have academics and you have involvement that equals a college education. So starting with the fall semester, our biggest program is the Welcome Back Days event. It's a week-long event. We're going to start off September 18th with Constitution Day. It's an observance, and it will run until September 23rd, Saturday, with a day of service. Mm. So in between, we'll have student clubs set up. Students can come by, meet representatives of the student groups, find out their mission and the things that they do throughout the year. They also have an opportunity to meet representatives of student support services, such as counseling, tutoring, athletics, and so forth. We also have activities for them to get involved. We have a stage show planned, a photo booth, a few other fun things, because I know students, they want to have fun outside of class.
Yes, they do. I'll tell you, it seems like I don't want to say a thankless job, but every time I see the events going on and students here and enjoying everything and participating so actively, I realize how much effort goes in, you know, in the front end of making sure everything's in place and
exactly.
so on. So by the time the students get here, it's like, whew, it's almost like my job is done, even though I know it's
no,
your
it's
job.
Not.
It's never done. But
endless.
when you pull it off like that, I think that's a good thing. I think that actually says a lot about your organization abilities and so on. We're excited to be a part of the Welcome Back Days, as we always are, mm-hmm. with WHFR Radio, providing yes. opportunities for students to learn about what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. We like to say, well, we don't like to say, but we say we're sort of like the best kept secret on our campus.
I will agree with that.
Yeah, it's good and bad, I
hidden
guess.
Hidden gem.
Yeah, there you go. When it comes to student involvement, this is, interestingly, my son is 18, and he is starting college.
Is he starting here at Henry Ford?
Oh, I so wanted that to be the case. And believe me, it was my top choice. This is where I started school
yes,
as well.
Likewise.
He is the bird that really wants to fly away.
Oh,
so he
okay.
is flying away. Not far. He's going to Michigan State. But it's far away for him to know, feel like he's starting his own stage of his life, mm-hmm. But close enough where mom can feel safe still. Mm-hmm. And I can be there in an hour and 10 minutes.
Yes.
I clocked it
yeah.
if I have to. But
An hour, if necessary.
Well, you know how I drive.
Yes.
So ultimately, I think this is the one and only time for me that my child, you know, my life's purpose is going to be starting at the same time as all these students that I get to teach and that mm-hmm. I get to see on campus mm-hmm. and so on. So, boy, talk about walking in somebody else's shoes for a little while. I always try to instruct the way I would want my child to be instructed by his teachers. And mm-hmm. and in this situation, it's really evaluating all the exciting things going on our campus mm-hmm. as it relates or compares to things going on other campuses. Mm-hmm. And this is nothing against Michigan State or U of M or any of the other colleges, but We're right up there.
Yes,
I mean,
we are.
Maybe
yes,
even farther are, with some of these things.
Yes.
Talk about impressive.
I have been told that many times. Say, Henry Ford is a two-year college, but it offers more student life activities than major universities.
Yes. It's fantastic.
Such as U of M.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, really?
absolutely the truth. I can vouch for it. I've been seeing the emails coming through about events and things. Yep. And mm-hmm. while it's fine and great for them, this is what we're doing is just, it is above and beyond. Yeah. So, and you are the person.
And personnel from universities have contacted me for certain contacts for particular programs.
Wow. Oh, that says it all.
So I was glad. I'm impressed.
Yeah,
I'm
you should be. Well, it's impressive. You are the one that comes up with the ideas with support from your staff, of course, and mm-hmm. Michelle is wonderful, we know. And I'm sure you look for input and take input from the students themselves.
From the students, yes.
Can you tell us any stories of anything that maybe you started doing or altered a little bit to accommodate the ever-changing college student?
Well, I always poll the students. You know, one year I had a comedy show, and you know, it was not well received.
Maybe it wasn't funny.
I said, maybe it was just that group of students. So I thought I would try it again, have another comedy show, and again, was not well received. So that is something that I will not do now,
okay,
a comedy show. But they love the concerts that we often bring mm-hmm. in. Mm-hmm. They love the game shows because they have an opportunity to win cash prizes. So, you know, they're students, so anything dealing with cash, yes.
Cash and food,
right?
Very good.
And the presentations, if they have someone that they know of in a community and they would like to have them on campus, I put forth my best effort to bring them here because I know I have the students buy-in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And certainly student interests are changing, as we know. Although we do hear the downside of social media often, there are some great upsides to the connection and the ability to communicate with others in such mm-hmm. a rapid and vast way. And I know that oftentimes people say it's the 18-year-old student that's at home playing the video games mm-hmm. and not wanting to get out of their shell. Well, I hate to tell you, I study this. The average video gamer, sorry, Alan, is the 36-year-old male, believe it or not, sitting at his house the minute he gets off work to the minute he goes to sleep and then gets up for work again. It is not the 18-year-old, 19, 20-year-old, so they're getting a bad rap.
It's the grown man.
It's the grown man. Well, I could have told you that a long time ago, but it's true. So I am so excited that we get to experience firsthand on this campus so many of these wonderful opportunities. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the Day of Service. We know that one of the things your office is very well known for, and that's the MLK mm-hmm. Day of Service.
Yes.
Wonderful tradition mm-hmm. and rich history of just doing great things. How excited do the students get when they get to partner up and participate in events where they're actually giving something back?
Oh, they are very excited about Martin Luther King Day of Service. We're going on 24 years mm-hmm. of having this program, and it's a collaboration between Henry Ford and U of M Dearborn. So between the two, we have approximately 500 volunteers each year. And with the student groups, they usually like to volunteer as a group, and they partner with groups at U of M Dearborn. Mm-hmm. And they go out, do different activities. They come back very excited, sharing their experience.
Nice.
So they love Martin Luther King Day of Service. But in addition to that, we have volunteer days. We go out each month on a Saturday and volunteer our time and service in the community. But we select different agencies, such as Gleaners, Forgotten Harvest, Starfish Family Services, Veterans Hospital. So we have a number of resources that we use when we are doing volunteer work.
Very good. If there was something that you could wave that magic wand that I understand is somewhere here on campus, but we've never seen it. They're passing it around, I guess. I don't know. If we could wave that magic wand and say, this is what I want to add to this department, to this office. This is a thing, an event I'd like to try, to host, to coordinate. Is there anything that's been in the back of your mind that you're just not quite ready to launch yet, or maybe resources aren't quite there yet?
Well, actually, I've started it. It started in January. It's a leadership program. that we started, and it's something that I've been wanting to put in place for years, but just haven't had the time or the opportunity.
So you do have the wand.
Yeah.
Well, we know, Alan, we found it. We know where it is. I'm kidding. Go ahead, please. So a leadership, it's a leadership experience.
It's a leadership program.
Okay.
It's called Building Leaders of Tomorrow. And as I said, it started in January. And it helps, it's designed to help with students' leadership development and professional growth so that they, when they leave here, they are more effective leaders. So the program is a year long. They have to go, well, semester long, I should say. They have to attend a series of activities. They have to be a club member and some, they have to do community service and a number of other things. And then they receive a certificate of achievement at the end of the school year.
Very nice.
So I've already had 10 students complete the program. Mm-hmm. It was as a trial run. So we're starting it again this semester for the full year. That was just, like I said, trial run for the winter semester.
Okay, very nice. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's impressive. Talk about looking good on a student's resume, perhaps, if they want
yes.
to transfer to a university
mm-hmm.
as well after
yes.
their time here.
And
at
they
this
were
college.
Very excited to receive that certificate of
yeah.
achievement
oh, I'll bet.
To add to their portfolio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nice. You're thinking of everything, aren't you, Cassandra?
Well, that's not everything.
Well, just about. So when it comes to getting students engaged, there are so many opportunities, as we've been talking about, mm-hmm. Those specific one-time things that they can participate in. But when it comes to the general basic clubs on campus mm-hmm. and coming to Welcome Back Days is a great way to learn about what's going on. But can you highlight just a few of the clubs that maybe are doing gangbusters right now, or maybe a few that are just kind of getting started and looking for membership? Anything that you'd like to share?
Okay, well, we're working with approximately, I don't know, maybe 38 student clubs. It goes up mm-hmm. Each semester, depending on the activity and the interest of students. But we're working with about nearly 40 clubs, I would say. And they fall in the categories of academics, cultural, faith-based, honor societies, political / social, and recreation clubs. So that's a wide array of interests mm-hmm. amongst the student body. And I would say maybe 80% are active. Mm-hmm. 20% are dormant, but as I said, it depends on the interests of students. Last year, the Muslim Student Association was very active, the Yemen Student Association, and at the end of the year, I have an award ceremony. So they both were recognized mm-hmm. for all the work that they have done throughout the year. So they promote their culture, they promote their purpose, they get students involved, they're inclusive, and they just do a great job for Henry Ford College. They nice. Represent us well.
We might not necessarily have students listening to this particular talk show. They often don't. I'll be honest. But their parents and maybe their grandparents are listening. And
oh.
maybe. So if you know a student at Henry Ford College, maybe a new student or one that's been here for a semester or two that has perhaps no knowledge of the Welcome Back Days that's going to be coming up middle of next month, or maybe has not reached out to Cassandra's Office of Student Activities to get involved in a club organization, let them know. Let them know that she's here, that the office is here, and really, as you mentioned in the beginning of our discussion, just a great experience for the entire college package, the college feel. Say that again, what you said in the beginning about the relationship to the involvement versus the academics. That was great.
Oh, well, it's academics plus involvement.
There
that
you.
Equals the college education.
Very well
so students think, oh, college is all about going to school and getting good grades. That's true, but we have the involvement piece, too, that makes the total package.
I like it. And it's all right here on the campus of Henry Ford College. And Cassandra Fluker is the lady to talk to get more information. Maybe you have an idea for an event. Maybe you have a business and are willing to sponsor or participate in an event or an organization, whatever the case. How can our guests, our listeners, get a hold of you, Cassandra?
Well, they can always email me. It's crfluker@hfcc.edu. If they want to visit the campus, they can come to my office, which is in the Student Center, Building M, Room 105, or they can call me. Phone number 313-845-9838.
Okay, 845-9838. Thank you very much for your time today. Most enjoyable, as always, and best of luck with this next semester and this next school year.
Well, thank you, Susan. Thank you for inviting me, and I thank WHFR for their participation and support.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Well, this is the new WHFR Journal. It is about 8 minutes until the hour of 2 o'clock. I think we're going to have a quick moment of some different information for you, and we'll be right back to wrap up today's show.
Green jobs are here to stay. Why not go green with a degree in alternative energy here at Henry Ford College? Students will acquire knowledge in advanced fuel sources and the practice of alternative energy in the world. For more information on the Alternative Energy Program, please contact HFC's Technology Division by calling 313-317-9816 or by going to hfcc.edu/programs.
Hi, this is Go Mike Holloway inviting you to ride with me, baby, every Friday afternoon, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. with only the best in rock and blues just for you, right here on WHFR.FM, the station making waves. Woo!
The 5101 Restaurant is Henry Ford College's innovative on-campus dining experience. The restaurant is operated by students and staff of HFC's Hospitality Studies program and offers a learning experience for the students combined with a delicious and affordable meal for you. The 5101 is open Tuesday through Thursday from 11:15 a.m. to 1 p.m. and Wednesday and Thursday evenings from 6 p.m. to 7:45. Reservations are suggested and can be made at 313-206-5101. That's 313-206-5101. See you soon at HFC's 5101 Restaurant.
And we're back, the new WHFR Journal. Welcome. It is 5 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock. Susan McGraw here, along with Alan Mazurek. And thanks again to Alan for his support and really just his beautiful voice. I know it's... He probably gets that all
it's
the time.
It's a little rusty.
So, it's very nice. It's very nice. We are excited to be trying our best in carrying on the tradition of what our wonderful longtime station advisor, Jay Koronick, created and demonstrated each and every week with the WHFR Journal. I'm going to try something new today, though. I'm going to do a, sort of a good news, bad news, I guess. It just kind of struck me and a couple of stories I wanted to get into. So, but because I'm sort of a... Well, they don't call me Susie Sunshine for nothing. I'm going to start with the good news. And this does relate to some wonderful community members, the Koch family. They happen to be my in-laws, so I just needed to get that out, so I call it out. But they are also the wonderful, wonderful Dearborn family. And Mary and Don Koch have been given a wonderful citation from the city of Dearborn, from the mayor, for creating a bikeability component into our Dearborn community. So the Cashews are longtime philanthropists and have been involved with so many great things promoting the healthy living to the community. So their donation to the Beaumont Foundation and Healthy Dearborn has made possible a new bike sharing program. Also, it will fund the creation of a bike lane on Outer Drive Road, believe it or not. So that is exciting. It's new and it's good for everybody. So thank you, Cashews, for continuing to do that. Now, maybe you don't have an extra, I don't know how much money going, you know, in your bank account that you just are ready to give away, but you certainly can participate in a small way in healthy and safe and sustainable and positive movements, certainly in some capacity or another. But we thank the Cashews for standing up, and we thank the mayor's office for being so aware to make this a headline news. It's important. The good stuff makes such a difference. And now the bad stuff. And this is sad but true. We know that there are opioid addiction, terrible, terrible tragedies happening on a regular basis in our community as well as others around the area. And just recently, there was a Dearborn doctor and his office assistant charging with overprescribing opioids to patients at a Dearborn medical clinic. So we know it's happening. I think the little ray of sunshine on the story like this is that there are some charges brought up, and that means that people were caught doing bad things, and hopefully that will help send a message that this is not acceptable, it's not appropriate, and we all have to be aware that this opioid problem is really an epidemic and something that in our own community could be taking place. So we want to be aware, we want to be intelligent consumers, and if we see something happening that is wrong, we want to absolutely share that with the proper authorities. So that's sort of my good news, bad news, but always wanting to end on a positive note. We thank you for participating and listening actively to today's new WHFR Journal. Again, thanks to our guest, Gloria Nysek, who is so excited to present Big Band at the Pavilion, that event again taking place Saturday, September 9th. Tickets and more information, call this number, 313-565-2424. That's the number to the Dearborn Symphony office, or visit dearbornsymphony.org. Cassandra Fluker in the Office of Student Activities as well. Thank you for being here. We've got great information on a regular basis, and we're glad that you're here to tune in to listen to it. Alan Mazurek, thank you so much. Look forward to hearing that wonderful voice moving forward, and also in the roles that you're going to be taking on at the station. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Yep.
Thanks so much. We look forward to great music coming up next. It's our own Kitty Love with her interpretation of the Highway 61 show. So, Kitty, great music, I'm sure, coming up. And we again appreciate the opportunity from our College Board of Trustees to be able to present information, music, news, and so much just for you right here at WHFR Dearborn. Have a wonderful afternoon, Dearborn, and thanks for listening.
You are listening to WHFR Dearborn, Detroit. Broadcasting live on the campus of Henry Ford College. Tennessee. When I get down the clock.
Scottsdale, south of Memphis, Tennessee.